WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's Matt Wolf, shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot! Took the pass on a backhand from Owen Cylinder. He beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Weissenden. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Weissenden goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Cylinder. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopie.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division One era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tom Ceratori Show. He may have played here and coached here, but he's not here tonight. Tom Ceratori is out recruiting in the off week. Assistant coach Travis Winter is here. He played here. He's coached here.
And he is here.
And he is here. Wins. Thanks for pinch hitting tonight.
No problem, Chelsea. Great to be here.
Another couple of tight ones last weekend with Bowling Green. Have your players figured out by now that last 5 minutes it's going to be a one-goal game?
I hope so. It's eight straight of those, so we knew we had a tough schedule and that a lot of these games would play out this way, but you figure maybe one of them or two of them don't, but it's been tight. It's been good. We're going to have to get comfortable playing in tight games, which will help us down the stretch come playoff time. So it's been a good experience for our guys.
How do the number of seniors and the couple of fifth-year guys you have help with that?
Well, it certainly helps. I mean, Tom always says, you know, you can't buy experience at the grocery store. So and that's true. Like, you know, Brad Johnson and Ethan Somoza played in a lot of games, and overall we've got an experienced group, especially up front. Those guys have played in a lot of games, a lot of different types of games, and you're going to play in a lot of different types of games during the course of the season. So the more experience you have in those different situations, you know, it can definitely help you out.
Well, you got a lot of games under your belt now. Is it starting to feel normal, like a normal hockey season versus last year's COVID year?
Yeah, it really does, Biss. It's back to the grind, and it's great to have fans in the building. It's great to be in a regular routine. I mean, last year you're literally one day at a time. You don't know if if you're going to run into issues with your team or the opposition. You really didn't know what was coming week to week, and now I feel like we're back into a routine. We know what to expect and our preparation and everything, and it's been good to be back at it.
Having a weekend off this weekend in between all of these close games, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's good. I think the timing is good. It's kind of the halfway mark before you know, the Christmas break, and we've played eight games, so we can sit back and reflect as a group, you know, what we like about our game, what we don't like about our game. It's a good time for our players to reset and take the weekend off and recharge as well. And it's a good time for recruiting, too, for us. It's that time of the year where that starts to pick up with the signing period next week. So it's actually timing maybe couldn't be better right now.
What do you like best about how you're playing right now?
That's a good question, Schultz. Yeah, I don't know that we're great yet in any area. I think we're playing pretty good in a lot of areas. We don't feel we've scratched the surface yet to what we can be, which is exciting. We've got a lot of work to do, but you know, I'd say we're pretty good in a lot of different areas, but just not quite, you know, where we maybe want to be by the end of the year. So there's room for improvement there, but you know, I think the thing that's helped us, you know, is our experience. And if you're a stat guy or not, you know, the two areas statistically that we're doing well is our 5-on-5 play. Our 5-on-5 goal scores is up from last year, and last year was a good year for that. And our 5-on-5 defense is down from last year. And so those two areas are definitely, you know, positives for us. And
are there any areas where you're where there's concern?
Well, I would say our special teams is an area that's got to improve. You know, both power play and penalty kill, and it will. It sometimes those things take time. It's early in the season. You know, we've got a small sample size. We've only played 8 games. You know, so special teams would be an area definitely a focus for us, and just our overall team defense, just getting our goals against average back down to where it typically is. And again, it'll get there. Sometimes it just takes some time.
Well, beginning of the season, certainly the big question was goaltending. With Zach leaving, and before Zach, it was Bitzer, so you guys have had a number one pretty much forever, it seems. What's that like as you try to figure out maybe how that goaltending situation will play out for you this year?
Yeah, it's definitely a process. I think it can be a good thing, a positive thing if you allow it to. I mean, there's competition is good at all positions always, so there's definitely competition there right now. The process will have to play itself out. We like all 3 guys. They've all been in the nets, and we'll see up moving forward how that plays out. But sometimes it's different every time you have a new cycle. You know, like we had Bits for, you know, in the nets for a while, and then Zach, and we haven't had this too often. So, but it's all good. Next man up, and they're all capable, and we'll see how it plays out.
8 games in, are your freshmen finally not playing like freshmen?
I think there's still growing pains there. Typically, the second half of the year is kind of when you see their game evolve and take another step. You know, there's definitely been some really bright spurts for them. You know, and then there's going to be moments where they're going to look like freshmen again, and that's just the way it is. College hockey's not easy. It's tough, but we really like that group. There's a lot there. They're great kids to coach. They listen well. They're coachable. They're working hard in practice, and they're adding to our team. They're adding to a veteran team. So, you know, I think that says a lot right there that with our veteran group, we've got some young guys that are contributing, and it's good to see.
Well, I know one of the things I remember from past spaghetti feed nights when we'd be there at, you know, talking to you coaches and players, is that one of the things Tom and you look for as a coaching staff are kids that are coachable. Obviously, with this recruiting period going on right now, is that kind of priority for your team or for you guys to find more kids that are coachable?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, there's talented players everywhere, so you got to have talented players, but they got to fit, and they got to fit the way you want to play. They got to fit the way you coach. They got to fit the area. You know, you don't want to bring in a kid that you don't think is going to have a good experience here. You want to make sure you bring in kids that you think will be a good experience with the school, with the town, with the coaching side, with everything. And so there is a lot that goes into it. And character and fit are definitely, you know, 2 priorities on that list.
Well, with the COVID extra year for everybody getting that opportunity, I mean, how does that change the game for you? You already have a ton of players. I mean, that's got to be hard to manage. Obviously, you can only suit up so many. I guess how do you manage currently the roster that you have, knowing that you can only suit up so many, and then how's that impacted how you're going to recruit the next year or two?
Yeah, it's really challenging. I mean, we've never had a roster this size before, and probably never will. There's a lot to manage, as you said, and you just gotta do a really good job communicating with your players. I think first and foremost, you got to spend time with them. You know, you got to let them know you care about them, and you know, just let them know when given the opportunity, it's up to them to take advantage of that. And we've gotten a lot of different guys in the lineup so far this year, which has been great. You know, I think that helps. It helps keeps their morale up. It helps us sort things out. We're still learning about a lot of these kids too as players, especially these freshmen. And sometimes you got to play them and play them in different situations to figure out kind of where they're at. And it'll probably be ongoing like that for a little while till our lineup settles down or settles in, I should say, a little bit.
Travis Winter with us tonight, assistant coach for the Beaver men's hockey team. In for Coach Tom Cerruturi, who is out recruiting. Beavers are off this weekend at Lake Superior State next weekend. Wentz, one of those freshmen, Yuri Vaisanen, you put him up with your top line. I would venture a guess that a lot of people in this bar could be better hockey players when they're playing with those two guys. But what does Yuri bring to that line?
You know, Yuri first off brings a high level of compete. He plays the game fast. He plays with a motor, as we talk about all the time. I think he's got really good hockey sense. He's got a good overall skill set. And he's a kid, you can play him up and down your lineup. You can move him around. He's going to play on the power play, play in the penalty kill throughout his time here. He's just so versatile. And he's one that's acclimated quickly so far to the season. It's been great to see. He's a sponge. He listens. He takes it all in. He's been a pleasant surprise for us, for sure.
You had Jakob Lewandowski with Owen and Alex Iarullo at Northern. That is a big body with those two pretty skilled guys, but yet for as big of a body as Jakob is, he can move.
Yeah, he can. He's a pretty good straight line skater. He's got a little power there. He's got an athletic build to him. Very excited to see the player that he can become over, you know, the process of his college career. He's got a lot of body to work with, and he's only going to get stronger and faster. And he's a great kid. I really like how he shoots the puck. He's got a good set of hands, and in time that shot that'll translate into production in time.
How did you end up bringing him from Poland to the States? Looking at his previous team, he did not play here in the American Juniors, but he played in Czech.
Yeah, so last year during COVID, he played in the Czech Junior League, but I think he might have played five or six games. But the year before that, he actually played in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
In the USHL, and we just, you know, we had a little bit of a relationship with him at that time, and, you know, with COVID, him not coming over last year, we circled back, you know, around Christmas time to see what he was doing, and he wasn't really playing hockey, and, you know, we started the recruiting process again with him, and we were able to get him to come back this year. So it's kind of a neat story for him.
Well, defensively, you've got a couple new names back there. Freshman Tony Fulmer, I think, has looked really good. He's played since day one for you guys defensively, and I thought Magnuson looked good on this weekend as well.
Yeah, both those guys have done a nice job. You know, Tony's played a lot of hockey, junior hockey, captain of Lincoln Stars in the USHL. He played a lot of minutes, important minutes for that team last year. So he's been in a lot of different situations, I think, has helped his transformation. And, you know, Will Magnuson played in Bismarck last year. He just played the 1 year of junior hockey. But I really like his puck-moving ability. He plays with his head up. He's a competitive kid. He skates well. You know, and it seems like each shift he plays, he's gotten better, which is exciting. And the more he plays, the better he's going to get as well.
Well, you guys, he was out there
Friday night.
Late in the game.
One goal game, and he's out there. That tells you right there how much confidence you've got in him.
Yeah, I mean, when you got especially with young defensemen, you never quite know how they're going to acclimate right away because it's a different game.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was surprised to see him out there.
Yeah, well, he
Your
earned
extra
it.
Skater is out there at the end of a game of a one goal game.
Yeah, I just thought, and we thought he was moving the puck so well, and he was confident. He was feeling it. He was seeing things, and he was able to get his shot through a couple different times from the blue line. So when guys are playing, put him back out there.
All right, you mentioned he's seeing things. I would venture a guess there are times where people think they're seeing things that aren't there. How does this group of freshmen absorb, for lack of a better term, video work?
I think it's always always a work in progress. It's you know, they watch video in junior, and then they're coached well and all those things, but it's a little different here in terms of preparation, I would say. I mean, when you play a college schedule and you're playing the same opponent Friday and Saturday, I mean, we're preparing for one opponent. We spend time on them. You know, in junior hockey, you spend less time really focusing on your opponent and maybe watch more video on your own team. So I think it's a little eye-opening in that regard with the preparation and stuff, but once they learn the systems and kind of learn how we play and what we're looking for, then they pick it up pretty quick.
So I don't know that I've seen many games start like last Friday did. We had three power plays in the first 10 minutes and didn't score. I think I used the term with Eric Martin for Saturday's pregame interview. I said, the power play passes the eye test. It looks good. At what point do results kick in and you say, you know what, there's something wrong here with this power play?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, you're right. Like those first three power play chances, they were all productive minutes. You know, had good puck movement, had good scoring chances and everything but the goal. And, you know, sometimes when you don't get that goal, it can be demoralizing. And you almost forget, you know, that you are doing good things. So I thought it was huge to get that one at the very end of the period, 20 seconds to go or whatever it was, because that gave us a little bit of lift going into the second period. But anytime you get power play opportunities early in the game, it's just huge if you can cash in on them.
Well, I thought it was interesting from a opposition perspective that Bowling Green, because their goalie played so well on Friday night, they went with the other goalie on Saturday after such a huge performance on the road in league play. I was stunned that they decided to switch goaltenders. Any idea why you think they might do that?
No, I don't. I mean, it's who knows. You know, sometimes I've seen teams do that before. If they like their other goalie and they're on the road and they want to get him a game, kind of see what he's got. A lot of times you'll see a team do that on the road. So I wasn't, especially after a win, a little less pressure on them on Saturday night. I have seen that before. But, yeah, I mean, the guy that played on Friday I thought played really well. And, you know, in fact, I kind of thought he stole the game for him.
He did.
I was a little surprised to see him not play on Saturday as well.
Yeah, not that the guy who played on Saturday didn't play well. I mean, it was a 2-1 hockey game.
Yeah, he did. They got both nights they had good goaltending, I thought.
So you are in charge of the defenseman and the power play. I've always thought that was an odd combination, that a defenseman would be in charge of trying to score goals. Why is it that the job duties are laid out as such, and why do you and Tom and Mike Gibbons feel that that is the best thing for the team?
Well, I think Tom used to do both. Like back when I played, I know he did both for sure, power play and penalty kill. And I think it's become such a specialized position or a specialized part of the game now with all the video and prep work and the detail and everything that it was better to pick one and hand the other one off. You know, and that's the way every staff does it. Nobody does it all anymore. It's too hard. It takes too much time. And he's always been a guy that's loved the penalty kill, and he's done a great job with it. And I'm not taking that from him. he can keep that, and I'll work with the power play. And you know, I love coaching the defensemen. I think you can build a unique bond with those guys. It's a smaller group. I've really enjoyed it, and you know, I'd like to continue with that. It's been great.
Well, you're a centerman by trade, right? So, I mean, power play at least gets you something back from your playing days as far as trying to score goals instead of, obviously, defense. Their main goal is to prevent goals. So do you enjoy that piece of it because it does bring you that offensive potential?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's fun doing that, but you know, honestly, I do have more fun coaching the defenseman, and it's funny. Like I always tell our guys, never trust a forward,
especially defensively.
Yes,
never trust me.
Bert used to say that. I remember hearing that, and it stuck with me forever. It's good. I mean, you as a player, like you don't realize how hard it is to play that position. And now being on the other side of it, I see that, and I see all the details that go along with it. So it's been great.
And a better appreciation for what Cody Bostock did?
Oh, yeah, all those guys. Yeah, Dave Dieterding, you know, all those guys.
We will talk about all those guys when we come back here from the tavern. It's the Tom Ceratori Show with special guest Travis Winter tonight. We have tavern gift cards to give away. Mm-hmm. We have Beaver men's hockey tickets against Michigan Tech. We've got women's hockey tickets against Duluth.
Mannheim Steamroller. We've got all sorts of stuff to give away.
Wow.
All kinds.
It's what we do here. You should be here. Every Wednesday night starting at 6. It's the Coach's Huddle and the Tom Ceratori Show right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Ceratori Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
When you add up all the Wi-Fi connected devices in your home these days, you'll be surprised how many there are and how much bandwidth they're using. Do the math. It just may add up to needing faster internet and Wi-Fi. Good thing Paul Bunyan Communications has reliable uploads and downloads up to 10 gigabits per second and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi to keep all your devices well connected. Get the internet speed you need for all your devices. Call or visit paulbunyan.net today.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas. Live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Dew the Dew.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have delicious meats and fresh veggies all sandwiched between fresh baked bread. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap. With seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons, it's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of, no, the wrap of sandwiches.
The Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Is there anybody out there?
Welcome back to the Tavern, the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. We just gave away a couple of Tavern gift cards and some Mannheim Steamroller tickets and some Beaver hockey tickets.
We got a ton to give away. I mean, there's no reason not to come out here on Wednesday. You might, I mean, get your dinner covered.
Yeah, well, the gift cards can be used tonight. That equates to free beer tonight.
And if you get here early enough, before 6 o'clock, it's 2-for-1s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, even better.
You know, it's always a surprise, though, because you order and then they bring two. It's like, I did not order two. Oh, that's right. It's 2-for-1s.
It is.
Not anymore, though, because that ends at 6.
Travis Winter, assistant coach for the Beaver men's hockey team with us. You were a freshman, if my calculations are correct. The second-year BSU made the national tournament and played at Wisconsin, correct?
That's correct, yep.
Then your last season culminated with a trip to the Frozen Four.
Yep.
That's a pretty good way to bookend a career there, Travis.
Yeah, I was fortunate to be on a couple good teams there, obviously, and, you know, two different experiences, that's for sure. That Wisconsin team we played that first year, I think they had something like 8 or 9 players end up in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Frozen Four year was obviously special with how all that went down.
Does how you played Wisconsin last year, did it bring back memories of your playing days?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because you're playing Wisconsin again?
Not so much our opponent, but more so just the experience of playing in the national tournament again. You know, it does bring back memories, and you start thinking about things, and it just brings a smile to your face, really. It's such a hard thing to accomplish, and anytime you can get back there, I think you got to make sure that you enjoy it.
Well, the experience obviously was a little bit different in the Frozen 4 year versus last year, which is unfortunate, obviously. That experience, you know, that we all had, all shared, really, in D.C. was, you know, all about the experience, getting to go see a bunch of things and do a bunch of things in the host town. And obviously that was a little bit different for you guys last year. Talk about that and what you tried to do to maybe make it that special experience that it should be.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely different without fans. I mean, we had, I think my wife and two kids were there, and maybe like eight parents. You know, Wisconsin had a handful of people. UMass had a handful. So it was different in that way. You know, we were really locked down pretty much at the hotel, too.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't really venture out too far and do anything. So all of our meals and everything were right at the hotel. And it was just different. But by that time of the year, we were almost kind of used to it. So, we didn't think anything different. It was just we were there to play hockey and try and advance on. And, you know, we just kind of went about our business. But definitely a different type of experience, for sure.
Well, and you had to have been nervous. I mean, right? Every week, maybe, because of the testing and the vaccine really wasn't around that much by that time still. And Michigan, obviously, having to bow out. I mean, you had to have been a little bit on pins and needles wondering, are we going to get a positive test? That had to have been a weird thing to have to worry about.
Yeah, it was. It was another level of anxiety you don't need.
Yeah, no kidding. Tough enough, right?
Yeah. We were sitting there for testing every morning, you know, while you're there, and you're just waiting, sitting in your chair waiting for them to call your name until you get your result, and then you go back up to your room. So it was different. There's no question, but, you know, but what a great experience. So at the same time, for our players and for our program, it was a lot of fun.
Well, certainly very memorable. I remember, here's a story for you. I was watching at my house working from home, and my kid was here doing distant learning, and she was out on the deck because I was taking over the living room for the game. And, you know, I start screaming, of course, after the first couple goals, and she comes in, "Dad, everyone in class can hear you." I said, "It doesn't matter. You can tell them that the Beavers are on and they're beating Wisconsin and there's going to be more screaming." But it was a pretty special experience, I think, for a lot of Beaver fans, just in a different way than the Frozen 4 year or any of the prior national tournaments.
Yeah, it was. And I think one difference, I mean, you know, in the Frozen 4 year, we went to the national tournament there and we were playing Notre Dame. And, you know, it was like us against the world kind of mentality. And, you know, not a lot of people had given us any hope. And, you know, we had a little chip on our shoulder for sure going into that game. And then same thing the next night against Cornell. And then this year was different. We were good. Wisconsin was good. Everybody knew we were good. We weren't surprising any teams at that point. Like, you know, that last year's team really established itself as a top team in the country, and our program has established itself as that. So like, we don't sneak up on anybody anymore. So like, that game against Wisconsin was more, we got a good team, they got a good team, let's drop the puck and let's go.
I might argue that Barry Melrose does not share that sentiment.
No.
Well, sorry, that was out loud.
And I wouldn't necessarily agree that you didn't sneak up on them, because it didn't seem like they did their homework as far as how aggressive you guys forecheck, and they just did not seem prepared, just like Notre Dame. It was like deja vu all over again. Did these people not watch film on Bemidji State and know what was coming? It didn't seem like it, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can't answer that question. But, you know, they maybe hadn't quite played a team that pressures, I guess, like we do maybe. And that you can prepare sometimes by watching video, but until you actually play,
it's in your face.
It's tough. Yeah.
Well, then you got a split second decision.
Right. And I think getting the early lead was huge. You know, getting that second goal, I think, was huge. And by the time they realized it was a hockey game, it was
over.
Maybe too late. Yeah.
So your freshman year, you make the national tournament. Did you think, wow, this is easy, we're going to be back here every year?
Yes and no. I didn't think it was easy, but you definitely, once you get there, you're like, okay, well, we got a lot of guys back. We're going to do it again next year. And actually, that next year, we weren't as good, and we returned a lot of players. I think we might have only lost four players off that team that went to the tournament the year before. So you're a little naive. Yeah, you're one, you're a freshman. Two, you're a player. You know, sometimes you don't realize how hard it is, and until you're on the other side of it. But you know, we expected to win, yeah. I mean, we expected to win league championships when we played and compete for a berth in a national tournament, absolutely.
So you get back there then your senior year, and oh, by the way, two wins. How rewarding is that, that all this hard work did pay off?
Yeah, it was great, you know, especially because it was a couple years since we were there. You know, we had a two-year break. I remember we lost to Niagara my junior year in the playoffs, and that was just a heartbreaking loss because we had a really good team that year again. And at that point, you look back and you go, oh, well, we only get one more shot. We've got to make this happen this year. And you kind of develop that hunger and passion for it and that drive. And, you know, fortunately, we were able to put it all together that last year.
Do you remember coming back from the regional in Grand Rapids and sitting on the tarmac? And when they finally opened that door, you could hear the crowd over the engine of the plane?
Yeah, that was pretty special. It, you know, we knew people were excited.
It was 2 in the morning.
But didn't know they were that excited, you know.
I was there. I remember being there. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was a late night.
It was a late night for a lot of people.
It was totally worth it.
It's a good thing there was an extra week before the Frozen Four.
That was so much fun.
How much did that solidify how important the fans are to this program?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it's huge. And that's the one thing that, you know, last year you wish – could have been different, because you play for more than just yourself. I mean, it's you're playing for your school, your community, your alumni, you know, all your fans. There's so much more to it, and anytime you can share that experience with them, it makes it so much more special.
What were some of your favorite memories of Washington, D.C. from that Frozen Four off the ice that you guys did?
Probably going to the Capitol was pretty cool. Never thought I'd be able to do that, you know, unless I was paying my way to go travel there, which I probably wouldn't have done at that time. So I think that was pretty cool. I still got some pictures of that from all the guys on the steps there. That was, you know, that and the charter flights out there, and then the police escort. I remember that to the rink, you know.
That was sweet.
That was different, yeah. It's something, all those things that, just things we never experienced before, and you know, didn't expect it either, you know.
What about, like, the Wisconsin game, back to your freshman year? I mean, I don't know about you, but I know when we were ice level and they were coming out onto the ice, I mean, it's the only time I think I've ever go. I mean, those guys are huge. I mean, they were big. And as you mentioned, what they end up with, 8 or 9 NHLers, they go on to win the national tournament. I mean, was it intimidating for you? Because it was intimidating to me just to see him walk by.
It wasn't intimidating. I mean, we went into that game, you know, thinking we were going to win, not thinking we were going to win, but knowing we were going to be competing and it would be a good game. And, you know, they if I remember that game right, I think they got off to an earlier lead in the first period, and then it was just hard to kind of crawl back at that point because, you know, they had really good goaltending. You know, Joe Pavelski, I think, had a hat trick that night.
He made a few zeros in the National Hockey League.
Was it 3-0, right?
I think it was 4-0.
It was 4-0.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you were on the tour to Lambeau Field?
Yes.
Oh, Rob Sirianni.
What was your reaction when Rob Sirianni slips in the mud and his suit is covered in mud?
I don't know. All I know is I'll never forget it. We still talk about it as a group. I can picture it just like it was yesterday, right now, actually. Wanting to do the Lambeau leap, takes off from the 50-yard line, made it about 16 yards.
Yeah, I didn't make it very far. But that's part of the – I mean, that is one of the biggest memories I think we all took out of that whole time.
I wasn't even there.
Weren't you? Oh,
no,
geez.
Kel and I drove. Oh, you took my flight.
That's right. I took your spot. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to experience it.
I've been to Lambeau.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, that was a good, obviously a big part of it.
Safe to say Rob Sirianni was the biggest character on that roster?
He certainly was one of them, absolutely. And he still is. I haven't talked to him in maybe a few years, but actually a couple of years ago I was in Alberta, and he's working there, and I ran into him at the rink, and he hasn't changed much. He's still Rocco. But he's doing well, really well.
Good.
Let's just say that the man could sweat. He could walk outside in January in Bemidji and be sweating. So Billy Cruz, the trainer at that time, had to pack Pedialyte for him because Gatorade wasn't enough.
Wow.
He would guzzle the stuff.
Crazy.
There was a time we were stuck on the plane going to Huntsville. I don't remember what year this was. We're in Memphis, and they put too much jet fuel in the plane. So now the plane is too heavy, and we weren't going to be able to land and stop at the end of the runway.
Oh, geez.
So we went to the edge of the Memphis airport, and they just rev the engines for about 45 minutes just to burn off gas.
Gosh.
Like, wasn't anybody paying attention to the gas pump here? How expensive is this? They had to shut the vent off. Rob Sirianni took his tie off and he used it as a headband to keep the sweat out of his eyes. I thought he was going to pass out.
Oh,
just sitting on an airplane. Interesting
That's
guy.
Funny.
He was close. He was close to it.
Oh, no.
I haven't thought of that trip in forever.
What are some of your other memories as a player then from a trip perspective, the ones that you remember the most? I mean, that was the CHA days, so.
Yeah, we had a lot of good trips. You know, actually, like, they were all good in different ways. Niagara was always fun. You know, it had the Como.
Yeah, the Italian
Como
place,
restaurant,
right?
We would go to. You know, Huntsville was always fun. You know, I enjoyed Pittsburgh. You know, the only ones we probably didn't really care for was Wayne State. It was just a little tough area.
You didn't like the pizza place with bulletproof glass?
No, I didn't like the chain fencing around the rink either.
Yeah.
It's a little different. But other than that, the road trips we had were great. We played a tournament 1 year in Vermont. We played a tournament 1 year in Dartmouth, and in both those experiences were really good too.
Travis Winter, our guest tonight, Beaver men's hockey assistant coach. Head coach Saratori is off recruiting. The Beaver men are off this coming weekend. We'll travel to Lake Superior State then next weekend. Back to last year, how much of that was just validation for the previous year when the year was cut short? Everyone thought you guys were going to be in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, poof, the carpet gets pulled out from under you.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was big-time validation. We knew we were good that year, and we didn't get an opportunity to showcase that at the national tournament. And so making it there last season and beating Wisconsin and being one game away from a Frozen Four again, it was great. It was great for our players on last year's team, and also validating for the guys that had left that were on the team the year before. And you know, they earned a part of that too. You know, a part of last year's success for sure was from those departing seniors the year before.
Travis Winter with us. We'll take a break, come back, and get you our Where Are They Now and our player profile. It's when we come back to the Tavern. It's the Tom Saratori Show with special guest Travis Winter tonight on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Saratori Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Green Mill in Bemidji is hiring. Multiple kitchen positions with line cooks starting at $15 minimum with no experience needed. Also hiring servers and banquet positions with full-time, part-time, and seasonal positions available to fit your schedule. Benefits include paid vacation, IRA match, meal discounts, and more. The Green Mill is an equal opportunity employer offering a great work atmosphere with friendly staff and management. Start your new career today and apply online at greenmill.com/careers or stop by the Green Mill in Bemidji for an application.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Got health coverage on your mind? we can help. I'm Alan Zutz with Thrivent Financial, and we've got UCare, Medicare, and individual and family plans for every budget and need. And now is the right time to enroll for next year. Call us to find out why UCare plans offer you more, including doctor choice and extras you want. Call Alan Zutz or Rice Miller at 444-0202. That's 444-0202.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
The Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Tom Ceratori Show. We are here every Wednesday night throughout the course of the men's hockey season with the Tom Ceratori Show. We will not have a quote-unquote Tom Ceratori Show next week because we leave for Lake State on Wednesday.
Oh.
But we will have a you and Kel will be here and there will be a show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good to know. I still need to show up.
That was just decided today.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
So we will have a show.
We kind of had to wait to see what time the soccer team was playing.
Oh, that's right.
So yes. We'll talk Beaver soccer here coming up at the top of the next hour. Assistant coach Mike Corman will join us. They have their last regular season game Friday. They'll start the playoffs a week from today.
They're undefeated still,
They
right?
are still undefeated. Yes. They are ranked second in the country
Crazy.
In the popularity contest. Second now in the regional poll.
Second in the regional poll. There's something wrong with that. But.
Well, there's good teams.
Apparently there's a better, they think there's a better, is the team that's number one in the country, number one in the region?
We'll talk about that
All
next
right.
hour.
Okay.
Travis Winter, our guest tonight. You go to Lake State, we won't have a preview of that. There's another national tournament team.
Same regional even.
Correct. They lost a couple of guys to grad transfers. How many puzzle pieces do they have that are new?
They brought in a couple new guys. But you're right, they lost some guys from last year's team. But they've done a nice job so far this year. 5-0-1 their last six games. They've been scoring a lot of goals. They scored seven against St. Lawrence on Saturday. I think they scored seven one of the nights the week before. So their power play is really good right now. So the new pieces, whether it's new players or just current players in different roles for them, have turned out nicely. They're doing a good job.
They were the surprise team, I'd say, last year because they haven't been exactly at the top of the league for a lot, and yet they played so well. And I was surprised, how well they played and that they certainly earned their spot in the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. They had a really good goaltending last year, and they were very strong defensively, really good penalty kill, and they just got better as the year went on. And towards the end of the season, they were a tough team to beat, and I think they just ran out a little gas against UMass, as pretty much everybody did that ran into UMass last year.
Yep.
But they had a really good season last year, and they're building off that WCHA playoff championship, and they're off to a good start this year. So it'll be another big challenge for us.
How much does the practices that your team does between now and obviously having this weekend off and next weekend, you've got 2 weeks to prepare for Lake State. Do you change up anything differently? Do you give them kind of a rest period or different challenges?
Yeah, well, this week, one thing we've done is we've taken a couple areas of our game that we feel can get better, and we've kind of focused on ourselves and getting better in those areas this week. And next week it'll just be like a normal week where Monday we'll start preparing for Lake State and kind of build the game plan, I guess, on how we want to play against those guys. So it's been good having this week off to kind of work on our game, and next week we'll focus a little bit more on them.
Time for our where are they now, Charlie O'Connor, and I don't know why I was thinking. Oh, yeah. I do remember why I was thinking Charlie O'Connor. As I was thinking the World Series, Charlie was from Chicago, and we were in a plane to Fairbanks.
when the Cubs won the World Series a couple years back. We landed, and he was very upset that he didn't get to see any of it. So I was thinking of Charlie O'Connor with the World Series just wrapping up. What's Chuck up to these days?
Chuck's living in Alexandria. His wife, Hillary, who I believe was a soccer player, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of BSU women's soccer, Hillary's an alum, the soccer program. They got a daughter living in Alexandria. He's got a job there, and I think he's coaching the Bantam team, a youth hockey Bantam team in Alexandria this year. So he's going to step into the coaching side of things here for a little bit at the youth level and see how that goes.
Where is he from originally?
From Chicago.
Huh, to Alexandria. That's quite a different environment.
I think Hillary
must be from there.
Bemidji to Alexandria isn't that different.
I lived in forever. That's where I lived my first job out of college was in Alexandria. It just was not a place, I think, for a 21-year-old guy. I was a little wild and crazy, and there wasn't a whole lot of wild and crazy people there at that, you know, that age. It's an older community, but obviously with a family, it's a lot different than a job.
So who could grow the best, quickest beard between you, Cody Bostock, and Charlie O'Connor?
Oh, me, no question. Hands down. I've been told. Boss was pretty good, though.
I put all three of you up there, and certainly in the top three since I've been here.
Boss was pretty good. He could grow a pretty good one. I'd put Charlie maybe in that next tier.
Do you do the no shave November thing? Could you do that? I mean, it'd drive me crazy. I'd have a beard down to the floor, probably.
I don't know if I could. It was hard enough during the playoffs when I was playing.
Yeah.
It gets in the way.
I agree.
In the way.
I mean, you can either deal with it or you can't, and I'm with you. I can't deal with that. After a couple of days, it's got to go.
As the three of us all have a couple of days worth of scrub.
It's getting to the point where it's got to go pretty soon here.
Well, when Schultz's facial hair is as long as his hair.
Yeah, I got to cut them both. They're both equally gray, so just get rid of them all. Mm-hmm. Time for our player profile. Alex Adams is a senior from Grand Rapids. Maybe my eyes are deceiving me. Maybe I'm seeing something that I'm not in real life. Seems to be playing a little quicker, a little more giddy up to it.
Yeah, I think he's had some games this year where he certainly has had a lot of energy and jam. And, you know, like Alex is an important part to the team. He can bring a different element than some guys. You know, he brings some size, some strength, some good play on the wall. He plays heavy on the puck offensively. He helps our puck possession game. And, you know, those guys are extremely valuable. And he's another guy. You can plug him in maybe some different situations, move him around the lineup a little bit. He's a total team guy. He never complains about anything. He's always whatever the coaches ask or team asks of him, he's going to do it. And he's going to do it to his best ability. I love Alex. He's been great for us. Good four-year player, and you know, we'll miss him for sure once he's gone.
Last weekend you had him with Tyler Kirk up in the middle, another big body. What characteristics are you looking for then on that left wing with those two?
That's a good question. You know, Schulte, you know, we've tried some different things, and we'll probably try some different things moving forward too, but like if I'm a player, I'd like playing with those two guys. You know, like they're a little similar. They bring a little heaviness. They got some size. They play the game the right way. They manage the puck well. You're going to play in the offensive zone a lot with those guys just because of how they play. They'll chip pucks. They'll get pucks deep. They'll play behind the other team's defensemen. So, you know, if you can put a guy like we had Lucas with there with them too, and, you know, they're generating offense. Lucas got a good skill level, and those guys kind of opened some ice for him. And so those two guys, when they're together, you know, they could be a fun group to play with.
I thought Alex, you know, from his freshman to sophomore year, took one of the biggest leaps that I can recall. That after the first year, he really played a different game when he was a sophomore. But I thought last year maybe not regressed per se, but just didn't seem the same for whatever reason. And every year is going to be different. But you know, I think he's one of those guys that gives you a lot of grit. Mm-hmm. And in the corners in particular, in his sophomore year, he seemed like if he went into the corner and was going to be in a battle, he came out with the puck, which is obviously a pretty good skill to have. Talk a little bit about that. Is that why kind of one of the reasons you recruited him?
Yeah, he's like, you know, we hope he's that type of player every night. And you know, you mentioned he had a really big jump his sophomore year, and you see that a lot, especially with kids that that played a lot as freshmen. So like that whole group of forwards, we had lost a bunch of guys the year before they came in, so they played a lot as freshmen, and they were able to really get acclimated to this level. And then coming back their second year, they really knew what it took to have success here and how they had to play to have success. And a lot of those guys had really good sophomore years, and I think you can attribute that to them playing a lot as freshmen. And, you know, it's a great class for us, that whole senior group of forwards. You know, they're coachable, they're good kids, and they've been good role models for our young guys right now.
Well, your team has five guys who are either captains or alternate captains this year. I know that because I've had to help Toby do a little sewing with letters on jerseys. But Alex Adams is one of your captains. What kind of a captain is he?
Adams, a do-as-I-do kind of captain. You know, some guys are more vocal. Some guys are more, they're going to show you how to approach the day. And Alex is one of those guys. And it takes all kinds. You need both. You can't have all rah-rah guys. You know, can't have all guys that won't say anything. You got to have a good mixture, and I think we have that. And Alex is one of those guys. He goes about his business every day. He does everything the right way, whether that's in the classroom, in the weight room, or on the ice. He's good in every area, and guys obviously look at him and as a role model, and they voted him, as they should, as one of our leaders.
So how did you end up with five?
So we have that many guys that deserved it.
Yeah, that says a lot about this team.
You don't normally have that. I think a couple things. I think our expanded roster probably played into that too a little bit. But we just had like that group got votes, and it was so close with a lot of those guys. And as coaches, we all respected them, and we wanted to all give them a leadership opportunity this year.
That's awesome.
Bemidji Lumberjack fans may not like me saying this, but Grand Rapids youth hockey seems to have a lot of positives going right now in the last handful of years. And they built an outdoor sheet attached to the Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
I know in umpiring baseball games over there in the summer, I'm like, where's so-and-so? Yeah, playing hockey. Where's so-and-so? Yeah, playing hockey. How much of that culture is drawing you to, you know, them, Greenway, to Dante?
Yeah, I don't know how much that plays into it. Schultz, I think it definitely, those types of places, you know, they can produce players maybe more frequently, if that's the word you're looking for, but it doesn't necessarily draw us to those guys. You know, what draws us to them is their ability to play and their character and those types of things. And then they go to junior hockey, and then they've got to get it done in junior hockey. And that's a big step. There's a lot of kids that come from high school hockey that when they get to junior hockey, it's hard for them, and it just doesn't translate. So they still have to go and show that they can play at a higher level before get too excited about, you know, something like
well,
that.
Well, I think people don't realize that. I mean, sure, you know, Dante obviously pretty famous for what they did in the state tournament run, but that he played two or three more years before he gets to even suit up for the Beavers as a freshman. It's, you may be good in high school, but it's extremely rare, is it not, for you to go right from high school to the D1 college level?
Yeah, it's a process, and you gotta let the process take care of itself. You know, you can't be in too much of a rush. The biggest thing is when you step on onto the college campus, you want to be ready to make an impact, and most times it takes a couple more years of experience before you're able to do that.
I figured out a better way to ask that other question. Bagley is a high school program that has struggled. They will even admit to that. If a kid can play at Bagley, you're going to be paying attention to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
The culture isn't necessarily, the wins and losses aren't necessarily what gets people on your radar. correct?
No, you're right. The best players do, so no matter where they come from or no matter what team they play for. You know, we'll recruit you from anywhere as long as you're a great person and you're a good fit and you're a good enough player. You know, and that's the thing. Like with these kids now, they come from all over. I mean, look at our roster. We got Poland, Slovakia, Sweden, Finland, California.
Another California.
I mean, we're all over. We got our share of Minnesotans and Western Canadians, obviously, as well. But if you're a good enough player now, you're going to get found. There's too many opportunities now for these kids.
Travis Winter, our guest tonight. Beaver men's hockey team is off this weekend. We'll travel to Lake Superior State next weekend. Wentz, again, we appreciate you
pinch hitting
for Tom.
No see problem.
See you on a bus on Wednesday.
Yeah, see you later. Thanks, guys.
Travis Winter, our guest here tonight for the Tom Cerruti Show. We will take a break. We have three more sets of tickets to give away, and we will come back and visit with Mike Corman, assistant soccer coach at BSU. That's when we come back. It's the Coach's Huddle right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Cerruti Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
Farming requires well-built equipment, Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century, tractors that are adaptable and versatile, hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty, Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed, productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
Hi, Dan the Chevy man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM man here. That's right, we have Buick, GMC, along with the full Chevrolet lineup. As we are finally coming out of the pandemic, now is the time to come see the Donlinger difference. We have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles arriving daily. You are sure to find the vehicle you want. Also, don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji, Chevy. Find new roads.
Think we're due for a good cold winter? Get the convenience of a remote start now at Detail Plus. Just the touch of a button with a remote car starter from Detail Plus. Call 444-7587 to schedule your installation today. Need glass repair? They can do that too from Chandler's Auto Glass. They work with all insurance companies and take care of that pesky paperwork. With any windshield replacement, you receive a free mini car detail. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. 5 classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
Welcome back to the Tavern. Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. We gave away, I think, north of a dozen tickets and $100 worth of Tavern gift cards in the last 58 minutes.
Yeah, there was like 8-9 different people who won. Your odds are good of winning. And they come here on Wednesdays during the coaches show.
Yes.
They are.
Beaver soccer team is undefeated, ranked 6th in the country. The latest regional rankings came out today, which determines the postseason field.
Second in the
field.
Country, I thought you told me.
6th in the nation, 2nd in the region.
Okay.
That's awesome.
They were 3rd in the region last week, and they hadn't lost.
Yeah. Right?
Assistant Coach Mike Corman with us. Coach, welcome back. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm going to just be as blunt as I can be here.
Uh-oh. Hot seat.
Do your players feel any pressure being undefeated this late in the year?
No, I don't think so. I think they just go into every game and just they're focused to go out there and just play. You know, we take it game by game. You know, back when we were starting the Winona Upper Iowa weekend, we started doing a, you know, Coach Stone, he was doing this sheet for the girls, kind of, you know, check a box. You know, we have this many more boxes to check. We got to check these boxes to get to go where we need to go. And, you know, I think they're just excited. They're ready to go. Got a great text from our assistant strength conditioning coach today, Colton, about how the girls are fired up and ready to go. It was a good lift this morning. And I think they just go to business every day, which is good. We had a great practice today. It was good, you know, moving the ball around. And, you know, I think they're just ready and they're excited.
So at one point, Sarah Wendt had scored three quarters of your goals. Which is good that you were scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Have you developed enough depth in scoring that you need late in the year?
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing now, you know, at the beginning of the year, maybe it was kind of like, oh, we had to rely on Sarah. But now we're kind of seeing more of the other girls starting to come out of their shell a little bit more, you know, getting goals from our midfield, getting a couple goals from the midfield, getting a couple goals from Allie now. You know, she's playing unbelievable right now. You know, she's, you know, all of a sudden I think it's just starting to click now again for her, which has been good. You know, I think, you know, Mason, same thing. You know, it's clicking for her too. So, you know, it's been fun. You know, we've been going in a great direction, and, you know, every game we've been playing better and better and better, and it's just been really fun to watch how we've been playing right now.
So catch us up. You guys are undefeated, obviously. You got one game left in the regular season.
Correct.
Have you won the conference championship yet?
No. So when if we win on Friday, we will win the conference championship.
I would hope so. I mean, unless another team goes totally undefeated, you...
Yeah, so right now we're a point above Mankato. We're at 38 points. I think they're at 37 points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of pretty much coming down to the last game. You know, if we win... We have it, and yeah, we just gotta, you know, just gotta go out and take care of business on Friday.
Well, you like that, obviously. You're in charge of your own destiny. You're not hoping to win and then need help or anything.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing for us right now is, you know, we've been kind of telling the girls like, hey, we control our own destiny, and they've even been saying like, it's been fun to be able to control our own destiny and not having to wait for anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, we need this person to beat this, you know. It's been like, okay, we can control our own destiny. We just got to go out and do what we need to do. And that's exactly what they've been doing, you know. A lot of people in the office, you know, how are you guys ready to go? I'm like, well, you know, I thought we had a good week of practice. They got to go out and play now. You know, I can't go play for them. I wish I could play again. But, you know, and it's been fun. They go out and we have great leadership out of our four captains, and you know, it's been great. It's been a fun ride this year, and I'm really, really excited for them.
Well, and Alyssa Stamba, I know a couple of games she hasn't had to see a lot of saves, but was named the NSAC Goalkeeper of the Week and a great average. She's played in 14 games for you, has only given up 7 goals. That's a pretty good average.
Yeah, she's been awesome, you know. On Sunday, she had to step up big and make a huge save against Minot to keep it, you know, a 1-0 game at that moment. Or at least it was either we were up 1-0 or it was tied 0-0. I can't remember. But, I mean, it was a huge save to keep it where it was, the scoreline. And, you know, she's been making the spectacular saves that, you know, all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's awesome. And then making the saves that she needs to make. So she's been having a great year for us in the net.
7 shutouts, too. That's huge.
Well, you've given up only 11 goals.
Mm-hmm. we kind of, these last couple games, you know, I think
4 in a row.
Yeah, we were in 4 in a row. So since we've started, we've kind of told the girls, like, hey, this is where the point of the season comes when we really got to make sure we're starting to lock it down a little bit more in the back line. You know, let's start locking it down. Let's start focusing a little bit more as on the defensive side, and you know, let's get these shutouts. You know, let's try to keep everybody off the score line and everything like that.
You mentioned Mason Schilling. I don't know that I've seen any pictures that John Schwartz has posted, BSU staff photographer, where she doesn't have a gigantic smile on her face.
Yeah, she's always smiling. She's always loves it.
Venice, Florida.
Yep.
There's a story there.
Yes.
There's got to be a story there.
I heard the story straight from her dad, Lance Schilling, came up to the press box the last game I broadcast and thanked me and then told me the story of how him and Jim Stone used to teach together.
Yep.
Like many, many
crazy
moons ago.
Crazy small world.
Yeah. So there. So the family is originally from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Grandma lives in Park Rapids. Mm-hmm. You know, lives in Florida during the winter times. But yeah, they moved down to Florida, and I've heard the story ever since Mason was a little girl. It was always like, I want to go play for Uncle Jimmy. And you know, next thing you know, she's here, and it's been awesome to have her on the team.
Crazy.
You know, it's, you know, a lot of people are, you know, we always got to give a hard time to the girls coming from California or Florida a little bit, but you know, we were like, do you have enough winter stuff? You know, you got your headbands on, you got your gloves and this and that, and you can see some of the girls from, you know, the local girls, Minnesota girls, are getting the, hey, here's another headband for you, here's something else for you, to kind of make sure that she stays warm.
The last time BSU hosted an NCAA game, it snowed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody from Missouri.
Central Missouri.
Central Missouri.
Yep, Central Missouri, yep.
It was nasty cold.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, questionable whether the game was going to start on time if the ice chunks were going to melt out of the turf.
Well, I remember.
And they all had short sleeve shirts and shorts on. Nobody had thermals on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this team is, there's no way they're going to, and they, of course, won. That can be a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You guys obviously hoping you can get back to that point where you're hosting in the regions.
Yeah.
What has to happen for that to happen?
We just still just got to take care of business. You know, we got to take care of business on Friday, and then take care of business in the tournament right now, once the conference tournament starts. You know, the NCAA rankings come out every Wednesday, and, you know, it's kind of just based on a lot of different factors. There's different boxes that we have to, you know, make sure that we're ahead of with certain the schedule and RPI and things like that. It's a really complex situation with the NCAA rankings and everything like that, just because, you know, you know, it was weird. Like, one of our conference teams actually dropped this week when the rankings came out today. Just because I think maybe strength of schedule or something happened in the boxes. So they dropped a little bit. You know, Mankato stayed at where they were at. You know, we jumped Emporia. Emporia lost the game this past weekend. Central Missouri stayed at where they're at. So it's a lot of different RPIs, and sometimes it's based on how you do against those teams too. So like some of our conference team played those MIAA teams and the GAC teams, and depends on how they do against those teams. So it's a lot of complex, keeps, you know, gives you headaches.
Now, the year you guys hosted the regionals, you lost in the first round of the NSIC tournament, didn't mm-hmm. you?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
In penalty kicks?
I'm not 100% sure.
Let me look. I had it up here on my...
Have you guys won the postseason NSIC tournament?
No, we have not.
I didn't think so. Even the undefeated year, you didn't win.
Because they lost in the first round of the tournament and then still hosted in the
regions. Yeah, so they lost to UMary. I was there. I broadcast that one. That was a shootout over time. Yeah.
Three overtimes. Yeah, I heard that was a cold game, too.
Oh, it was freezing. Actually, I was just looking back on the pictures from that Central Missouri game. There's a picture of Tia Newhart, and there's, like, the mounds of snow at end of the field. And I remember Athletic Director Tracy Dill and the whole crew were out there that earlier that day with Skip, and they were trying to clean off that field. But there's a picture of Tia. She looks so cold. She's got the headband and the gloves and long sleeves, the shorts, though. And there's this mound of snow that's got to be, like, 4 or 5 feet high. It's crazy. Go take a look at 2018.
There's a lot of snow that day.
When was that, 2017?
2018.
Yeah, 2017, they went down to Central Missouri.
Oh,
2018, they hosted. And then 2019, unfortunately, just had a hiccup. 2020, of course, COVID. And then, you know, hopefully this year, 2021, we're hosting here in the next couple weeks for NCAA.
Go take a look at some of these pictures, though.
Got to take care of business, though, on Friday.
When you go undefeated, like you did in 2017, I mean, obviously you can't do any better than that. But obviously, you know, from a team perspective this year, what are the goals? Obviously win the tournament. Go undefeated would be good. But win the postseason tournament, I would think, would be right up there. That's something that you guys never have accomplished.
Yeah, you know, so we kind of go through the season as there's, I guess you could say there's 4 or 5 different parts of the season. you know, we have our first part non-conference. We want to make sure we do well in that. Second part, you know, regular season conference. We want to make sure we do well in that. And then the conference tournament, you know, we want to make sure, you know, do well, and then the NCAA tournament. So we kind of got four. So right now we did well in our non-conference, doing really well with the conference season, you know, checking that box, and then, you know, hopefully checking the next box for the conference tournament and then going on from there. So, but, yeah, I mean.
That's always been your Achilles tendon, is it not? That postseason tournament seems to always bite you.
Yeah, you know, it's a long season. It's
and one game and done.
Yeah, one game and done, long season. And, you know, the game of soccer is funny. I mean, anything can happen in the game of soccer. You could have 30-some shots. The other team could have five, and they could get that one goal, and it could be a 1-0 game. I've played in plenty of those games before. Which, you know, and I've seen plenty of games that the other team finally did win, but yeah, it's you know, just kind of crazy just how soccer can be cruel sometimes.
Is there any games you thought this year that you should have lost? I mean, you got two ties in there.
Yeah, you know, I think it was kind of, there was some games that, yeah, maybe we escaped, but I think we just had a little bit more fight maybe. But, you know, it's the game of soccer, or I guess the game in, you know, any sport is, if it goes the right way for you, you know, good things are going to go well for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been lucky enough that those things have been going our way right now. So, you know, it's been really fun just to see the camaraderie with the girls and how they're focused and how they interact with each other when we're on the road, when we're home, and, you know, when we're in meetings, you know, they're locked in, they're ready to go and watching film and doing this and on the field, you know, they know what's at stake, but they're very focused right now, and it's fun.
Well, this Friday you play Minnesota Crookston, and I looked at the standings. They are the last place team.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that hasn't been discussed.
Well, no. in this league, you can't look past anybody, though.
No. I mean, you know, yesterday, so, you know, St. Cloud and Duluth, when they came up to our weekend, you know, the game against St. Cloud for Crookston actually got called because of the weather up there. So they actually had a play yesterday. And, you know, I was watching the game, and, you know, it was a 3-2 game, St. Cloud over Crookston. You know, so we told, you know, it's kind of like, hey, we got to be ready. And, you know, anybody's coming in, you know, they're going to be coming in ready to go. They're going to be physical. They're going to be ready to play. And we just, you know, we told the girls, if we do the things that we know how to do and control what we need to control, we're going to be successful. But we have to, you know, we have to come out and be ready to play.
NSIC tournament is the top 8 teams, correct?
That is correct.
One hosts 8, 2 hosts 7, and so on.
Correct.
Highest seed remaining hosts the semifinals and finals.
Yes.
So you're home. It's looking like the Beavers could be home for the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA playoffs, they take the top 4 from the region. Or is it the top?
So how the NCAA works, the three tournament, the conference tournament winners, those three, so the NSIC, the MIAA, and the GAC, they get automatic bids with winning the tournament. And then after that, it's the next 5. So the top 8.
Oh, that's right. They go to 2 different places.
Correct. Yep. Because there's 8 teams in our region.
Yes, there was 4 per site.
Correct.
So that's what I was thinking, yes.
The number 1 and number 2 teams that host?
Yep, 1 and 2 will host.
Okay.
Yep.
So if the Beavers stay.
So as of now, you're 2.
Correct.
Okay.
That would be a week and a half from now?
Yeah, it would
that's
be.
That's November 18th. Yes. I've got the calendar right up here.
Yep.
I'm on this because. Fingers crossed.
That's 2 weeks because you got to play Friday, right? Yeah, I forgot about this week. And then you got the tournament next week.
Yeah, we got
week.
Friday, and then next week, Wednesday, and then
Friday,
hopefully
Sunday.
Friday, Sunday.
And then the following
selection
Thursday.
Monday, and then the following Thursday. Because the NCAA always gives you 2 dates. You can either play on Thursday or Friday, and then the second round Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
Just depending, I think, of whatever you have on your campus, you can kind of decide, you know, we're playing Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday.
It's always goofy, though, that, I mean, if you end up hosting, it's, I mean, late November, which is traditionally obviously not going to be the best of times here from a weather perspective. Mm-hmm. Not that it can't be 50 like it will be this weekend potentially.
I mean, the weather's been great right now.
Yeah,
we're not complaining a single bit about
but
the weather.
But the odds
right
are it's not going to be in 2 weeks. It's probably going to be more like 10 degrees. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be some snow. Does that work in your favor?
I mean, who knows? I mean, it's the game of soccer. A lot of these girls have been playing all over the place. Sometimes it's, yeah, warm weather. Sometimes they're up in the cold. You know, right now the club scene for Minnesota is just getting going this weekend down in the cities. And, you know, everything's outside down there. You know, there's teams from all over, you know, out west and out east. They're playing in this, you know, starting to play in the cold. And I don't really – I mean, everybody goes everywhere, too. I mean, you kind of start looking at rosters. You know, Minot has a lot of California girls on their team. You know, it's just kind of where, you know, a lot of girls are just going anywhere to kind of get to be able to play. You know, I think it is a little factor, just more or less because we practice in it all
right,
the time.
Yeah.
But I think once you kind of just you have that one practice in the elements, then it's like, oh, okay, like, This is another game, just a little bit colder.
Well, and I mean, technology's changed. I mean, the stuff you can wear these days to keep you warm is totally different than when we were kids.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, our girls, you know, hand warmers, gloves, headbands. You know, we have long sleeve jerseys now, so you know they got the Under Armour underneath the long sleeve, so that's just another extra layer for them and everything like that. Some of the girls don't like to wear the leggings on the leg, just because it kind of restricts you a little bit. But more or less, it's usually the upper body, the long sleeves and everything they want to wear.
You know what else restricts you? A hamstring that doesn't want to move because it's too cold.
That is, yeah, yeah. Luckily, I was a goalie, so I never had to deal with any of that
stuff.
Yeah,
but you're just standing there.
Yeah, you're just standing there a lot more.
True, yeah, I am, yeah. Yeah, if you look at sometimes the goalie in the cold weather, you know.
They just run around a little
bit
in the goal box.
Just kind of, you know, doing the high knees, doing the, you know, trying to just keep the legs moving as much as they can. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, we have one girl, you know, from California to Georgie, and, you know, the other day she was, you know, at our game at Minot. It was a little chilly out there, and, you know, she was just doing high knees on the sidelines the whole time just to try to keep her body warm. And I'm like, you're a little cold? She's like, yeah, I'm freezing right now.
Just wait.
Yeah. So
Beavers will take on Minnesota Crookston Friday at 2. That is the last regular season game. The playoffs would be a week from tonight.
Yes.
Yep.
Is it here or there?
Here.
It would be here on Wednesday.
No, but the Crookston game, Friday.
Oh, here. Friday is here.
Yeah, yep. Friday's here.
Chat.
Yep.
The Beavers would host the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's guaranteed, right? Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Correct. Yeah,
that's
guaranteed. We will. Yeah, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. One week from today.
I don't think 1 o'clock is set in stone yet, but that's what they're leaning towards.
We'll have that game on the radio.
Kel will be there at the chat, and then we'll come here and we'll do
Wouldn't
a coaching show.
It. Yes.
And Jim Stone has already said he'll be here.
All right, and Hopefully we'll be celebrating a victory.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
Best of luck, Mike.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for having me out. Appreciate it.
Mike Corman, assistant soccer coach at Bemidji State, our guest here tonight. It's the coach's huddle here at the tavern. We're going to put AP on the spot.
Yeah, we're going to put our new guy on the spot.
Oh, that's right. We have a new employee.
We do.
I haven't even met him.
Oh,
Coach Corman already has.
Yeah, I see how I'm rating on the totem pole here. I'm way down.
I was at the chat a couple weeks ago when AP was in town. It was the goofiest job interview I think I've ever heard of. We made him do color of a college football game on his interview.
Nice.
Wow.
But he was at the field with me. I was setting up, and Coach Corman came by because they were playing later on that day, so they talked soccer outside the press box. AP, welcome to Bemidji.
Thanks, appreciate it. It's nice and warm. I was out suntanning this afternoon.
You liar.
You're right, I'm full of it.
Where are you from?
I done be originally from Georgia, but I haven't lived there in a while, sir.
So Georgia, but where, like, recently then?
Most recently, Salt Lake City Metro.
Okay, well, that's a lot warmer than here.
It actually is, and it's a pretty chilly place.
Yeah.
But it's a lot warmer than here.
Yeah.
Everything's relative.
So, yeah, and so you're here to do basketball, is that right?
Basketball is my favorite sport. I love the way they dribble up and down the court. The centers, what was that? I can't remember that old song back in the day, but that's about all I got.
Basketball. So you're going to be our basketball guy, but we're doing football next weekend, right?
Football, American football.
American football, yeah. Not soccer.
I got the soccer.
You got the European football, the old world football.
Yes.
Okay, we got the
Well, maybe
end.
You'll be the winning touch, because if the Beavers can win this weekend at Northern State in football, they'll be playing for the first ever chance to play in the division
season.
Two playoffs.
Hugh Jim Mora, right? Senior.
Well, it's going to be a big game, if hopefully, if they can win this weekend. So
that's a tough one, it looks like, this weekend.
Yeah, and so you did color for one of the games with Kevin?
No, with Mark Ritchie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
It was musical chairs.
It is musical chairs. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
Kevin will have the game on Saturday.
He's making the trip to Northern.
And then he's got to go back to Baltimore.
Right.
So for the last game of the year, or last game of the regular season, I'm at Lake State. So it'll be AP and Biz.
You know it's cold when you have to go south to get to a place called Northern.
Exactly.
Very much so.
Exactly.
True. So, AP, welcome to Bemidji. Welcome to the Beaver Radio Network.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Well, I think you'll find it a very welcoming community, I hope. We've all lived here for a long time, but Brian and Kelly, at least.
We were on the five-year plan.
You can remember, when
we're
you first got
20.
Here a little bit more than I can. But I think it's just a great place to live and work, and I think you'll find the people very friendly.
I already have found that. I appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to working with you next week.
Yes, sir.
And make sure you have plenty of long johns.
Yeah.
Under Armour. You will need them.
We're not talking the delectable, the pastry.
No,
we're
not the pastry.
Not the donut.
Under Armour.
Okay, yeah.
Although those are pretty good, too.
Yeah,
although, at least you're doing basketball.
Went off the
rails. We didn't even talk about
inside,
women's hockey,
least,
Schultz.
You know, basketball's inside.
So we're already 20 minutes late.
Well, women's hockey will head to Wisconsin to take on the number one Badgers.
Yeah, play the third-ranked Gophers, and then the next week have to play the number one-ranked Badgers.
They can
you
only get better.
You got to stop at the biker bar.
I don't know about that, Biz.
Perfectly safe. The little kid at the pharmacy.
Yeah,
he'll take
the pharmacy
care of
will tell you where it is.
No, I'm going to stick close to the team.
Yeah. So three games this weekend on the Beaver Radio Network. Football at Northern, women's hockey at Wisconsin. The women's hockey series is Saturday, Sunday, both games at 2.
Soccer, Friday, not on the radio, but go watch them play.
They play at 2 o'clock. And then the Jacks play after that. So.
Oh, wow.
Just stay.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Why not?
We'll be back next Wednesday night here at the Tavern for the Coach's Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Go Beavers.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.